Thank you, Rabbi Penner. B'shus Maran v'Rabbanan. Just as a disclaimer at the outset, there I think numerous people in the Yeshiva University community who have had and continue to have an ongoing connection to Rabbi David Zatzal, starting first and foremost with his esteemed brother-in-law, Rabbi Moshe David Tendler Shlita, one of the Rosh Yeshiva at YU, and Rabbi Yochanan Adler, a Talmud of Reb David, the people of Mishpacha with Reb David. What I'm coming to share today briefly is just from the perspective of someone whose relationship certainly was not as deep as some of the people I mentioned, but just is more ongoing and perhaps more recent by virtue of the fact that I'm in the Lower East Side now as a Rav for the past 18 years. Just by way of introduction, for those who don't know, the Lower East Side is a relatively small frum community, perhaps 250, 300 Shomer Shabbos families. And because of the fact that it's small and because of the fact that geographically everyone is really concentrated within a small number of blocks, there's a real sense of cohesiveness that the community has. And I think it's fair to say that Reb David Zatzal, as he was referred to in the Lower East Side, almost exclusively the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, in many ways was the center of that circle. He was a focal point that people looked to in the community for guidance, for psak halacha, and there was always a tremendous sense that whereas Reb David was among the gedolim of the world in terms of psak halacha, whose eitzah was sought after by people from literally around the world, you know, he was on our home team. You know, he was in our neighborhood, he was our local gadol, and there was a tremendous sense of pride, you know, in his existence in our community, his role in our community. And because of that, I think it's fair to say that speaking from the vantage point of the Lower East Side, the events of the past couple of days, his sudden passing right before Shabbos, the Levaya that took place yesterday, it feels extremely personal to anyone who's a resident of the Lower East Side right now. Listening to the Hespedim yesterday, I was struck by an emotion which was expressed, which I don't typically hear when hearing Hespedim at the Levaya of a great person, of an Adam Gadol. A term which was used over and over again was love. He was referred to, I know even in Shul yesterday morning when our Shamus got up to announce the fact that the Levaya was going to be at 9:30 outside of MTJ, he referred to our beloved Rosh Yeshiva Reb David, and numerous speakers referred to the love that he had for us and the love that we had for him. I know, you know, over the course of my lifetime, I've gone to numerous levayas, unfortunately, of some very prominent individuals. And the terms which are very often to describe the relationship or the emotions which one has towards those great individuals tends to focus on reverence, admiration, you know, a list of accomplishments. And again, all of those are legitimate. But the emotion of love is one which is not often given tremendous focus. But in this particular case, because of the nature of his personality, because there was a real sense that he was sort of, in addition to being a gadol and psak and a tremendous baal chesed as he was sort of viewed as everybody's zaydi. MTJ, you know, Mesivta Teferis Yerushalayim, which is the yeshiva, which was Rav Moshe's yeshiva Zatzal, until very recently was Reb David's. This is a relatively small yeshiva. The elementary school boys daven together with the main minyan every morning. There isn't a separate elementary school minyan. And the Talmidim, the young Talmidim in the yeshiva, have the opportunity to interact with Reb David on a regular basis. He's there for giving out the first chumash and for the first gemara. And every day after davening, again, up until COVID, the boys would line up and shake hands with the Rosh Yeshiva. After davening was over, they saw him around, they would wave to him, they would say hi to him. There was a feeling of just tremendous, tremendous love that in many ways went hand in hand with the respect and admiration for his accomplishments. In thinking over a term to describe what made Reb David very unique, I think one term that comes to mind is accessibility. We in the yeshiva university world are somewhat spoiled when it comes to the accessibility of our Rosh Yeshiva. We should realize we have it really good. We're very fortunate to have Rosh Yeshiva who make themselves available, who can be approached. You don't have to go through a gabbai, you don't have to go through a middleman or anything like that. In the world of the Agudas Yisrael that Reb David was very much a part of, that's not always the case. There's oftentimes limited accessibility to great people. And Reb David was really the opposite of that in so many ways. I remember in my early days in the Lower East Side, it was well known that if you wanted to come from any neighborhood and talk to Reb David about a shaila, one of the best ways to find him would be in the pizza shop. There was a pizza shop on the corner of Grand and Essex Street, about a 3-block walk from MTJ. And every morning after davening finished at MTJ, so Reb David with someone who was close to him from the neighborhood would go to the pizza shop. They would wave hi and say hello to the proprietor. They'd sit down on one of the tables at the pizza shop. They'd have breakfast together. And people knew if you wanted to find Reb David and ask him a question, you'd basically go and interrupt his breakfast, you know, that he was having in the pizza shop. And that was a good way to get to him. That was just typical of his accessibility. He would go shopping. He passed away at the age of 91 till very, very recently. He did his own shopping, you know, for himself. You know, he was a person who could easily be accessed. He would answer any kind of question, regardless of the minakalos or minachamuros, you know, regardless of whether it was a good question, a bad question. You know, he was just accessible and available to people in a way that many Gedolei Torah, particularly from the world of Agudas Yisrael, are not really accessible in that way. I think when one considers the intellectual legacy of Reb David, accessibility comes to mind as well. Rabbi Penner mentioned that clearly the two people, two Gedolim that we're talking about today, Reb David and Rabbi Sachs, Zichronam Livracha, were very, very different personalities and left a very, very different legacy. In certain respects, however, I think there is a certain commonality between the intellectual legacy that they both leave behind. Rabbi Sachs focused on making Judaism accessible to the broader world, to introducing Judaism through a philosophical lens to people who might have been very alienated, certainly from traditional Orthodox Judaism. Many of us are the beneficiaries, in particular, of his commentaries on the Siddur, which you know, became instant classics that I'm sure are going to be utilized for many, many generations to come. In a somewhat similar fashion, Reb David's intellectual legacy, I believe, was about making Torah accessible, not to the broader non-Jewish audience, you know, not presenting Judaism through an intellectual lens, a philosophical lens necessarily, but very much making Judaism accessible to the standard, perhaps yeshiva educated, perhaps yeshiva not, Orthodox balabos. At the Levaya yesterday, Reb Chaim Ganzweig, the Mashgiach of MTJ, commented that Rav Moshe Zatzal said about Reb David, Erken Shas, he knows Shas. And certainly, you know, one looks in the Igros Moshe, one sees the tshuvas which are addressed to Reb David, you know, one sees clearly he had the ability to, you know, manipulate and understand the sources of Torah on a very, very profound level. He was extremely close to Rav Moshe, to his father. I know on two occasions, Rav Shechter Shlita sent me to ask Reb David about what his father's opinion was about two particular halachic issues, with the understanding that, you know, if anyone would know through Shimush what Rav Moshe's perspective was, what his halachic position was on a certain issue, it would certainly be Reb David. You know, he certainly had the the standing of a gadol be Yisrael. The svarim that Reb David authored don't seem to be the svarim one usually associates with a gadol be Yisrael, a major posek of that level. They're all, almost all in English. Most of the Hebrew versions of Reb David's svarim are mostly translations from the English. Most of what he put out are English svarim and art scroll. And the nature of the svarim that he put out are also not the kind of svarim that we usually associate with a gadol and psak. He has English language commentaries on the Megillos, on Haftorahs, on the Haggadah, on Gematrios. There's an introductory book to the Jewish calendar and how it works, which, if you didn't know that it was written by Reb David Feinstein, you might say, okay, it was written by some guy in the Kollel, you know? And one wonders, how do you square the legacy of somebody who was such a gadol in psak, you know, and knew Shas, again, as attested to by his illustrious father, with svarim that, you know, English language svarim, which seemed to be on certain levels very, very basic. I think part of the answer is that Reb David saw as his mission not just paskening for the elite, not just giving over Torah to the elite, but reaching the masses. And the way you reach the masses is through English. The way you reach the masses is through svarim that are extremely accessible. And I think it's important to point out, as part of his intellectual legacy, that he was a major supporter of the art scroll effort to translate major portions of our Jewish literature into English. Many of the Talmidim here may be too young to remember this, but when the art scroll shot, the idea of translating the Shas into English came out, you know, the whole notion of the art scroll Shas, that was something that had to be sold to many of the Rosh Yeshiva in the world of Agoda. If you look at some of the Haskamos in the art scroll English language volumes of Shas, many of those Haskamos are very apologetic. Well, you know, given the circumstances, it's a good idea to do this because otherwise other people might translate the Gemara into English. We wouldn't want that. Other people already had translated the Gemara into English. That's besides the point. But many of the Haskamos are very apologetic to the art scroll Shas. And again, I don't know the inner politics, but it seems to me that from the very beginning, Reb David was very, very enthusiastically supportive of the efforts of art scroll to produce English language Judaica. And to the extent to which that English language Judaica is being used by so many people across the world, Reb David played a very, very important role in all of that coming together. I think that was driven by an idea of trying to make Torah as accessible as possible, again, within the confines of the Orthodox community. Like his father before him, Reb David was extremely tolerant of the various factions within Orthodoxy. I mentioned before he was an Agudist. You know, there's no question about that. He adhered to the ideology of Agudas Yisrael. He was part of the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah of Agudas Yisrael. But he loved all Jews, and he understood that there were Harbe Drachim Lamakom. I don't think he felt that Agudah was necessarily the only correct representation of Torah Judaism. I remember we had a fundraiser a number of years back in the neighborhood that was organized to support Karnei Shomron, one of the yeshuvim in the Shomron. They were, I think, building a new security fence. So somebody in the neighborhood had a connection. We had a fundraising event for Karnei Shomron, and Reb David came, and Reb David participated in the fundraiser. And at the end of the evening, he wrote out a check, you know, to Karnei Shomron and gave it to the people who were collecting the money. So one of the other balabatim who was present commented to me, what other Rosh Yeshiva with the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah would, you know, come to a fundraiser for Karnei Shomron and write out a check and not have to cross out his name in the upper left-hand corner of the check, you know, that he'd be embarrassed to be associated with such an endeavor. it didn't bother him. It didn't make a difference to him. You know, the Jews are Jews are Jews. And that tolerant attitude extended to really all of the people who came to see him. You know, especially in the later years, there were lines of people coming into the yeshiva from all walks of life to have meetings with Reb David. People used to travel from far and wide to make their brisin in the yeshiva in the morning because, you know, it was known that if you made a brisin in the yeshiva in the morning, Reb David would agree to serve as sandak. He wouldn't go anywhere else. But if you made it in the yeshiva, he would be the sandak. And people came from all walks of life. I know as somebody who had sons who went through the yeshiva, they got nice breakfasts many, many mornings in the yeshiva because there was a bris very often. And, you know, a bris from somebody who had nothing to do with the Lower East Side or with the yeshiva in any way, but they came into the yeshiva to have Reb David service as a sandak. That incredible tolerance and that love for people, that accessibility to people, you know, is something which we in the Lower East Side felt in a very, very visceral fashion. That extended to a tremendous involvement on behalf of institutions, tremendously involved in Torah Umasora, tremendously involved in Chinuch Atzmai. Chinuch Atzmai, we should note, as Talmidim of Yeshiva University, which was a cause which the Rav Zatzal was involved in, was the president of Chinuch Atzmai at a certain point. You know, he got involved in causes in a very behind-the-scenes kind of way. I know that even in the neighborhood, in a behind-the-scenes kind of way, he was very involved when people in the neighborhood needed money, needed support, needed parnasa. We get involved in chasadim of various sorts that, again, you know, reflected that he was very much not locked up in an ivory tower. He's very involved in the day-to-day lives of people. And that accessibility, I think, brings with it a tremendous, tremendous feeling of love and appreciation. I know that certainly here he's missed like a Zaidi, whose loss is very, very acutely felt. I think hopefully as there are opportunities in the yeshiva and the broader world to show our appreciation of somebody who left an indelible mark on the neighborhood in which he lived, but on the Jewish world as a whole, we'll have the opportunity to celebrate, as the Mashgiach Rav Ganzweig spoke about yesterday at the Levaya, the Chasdei David HaNe'emanim, the various chasadim, the acts of chesed that Reb David was involved in a faithful kind of way. And Tein Nishmaso Tzuro B'Tzor HaChayim, we should definitely be mispalel that his soul should be bound up in the bond of everlasting life.